Well, good morning. It's always a pleasure to look out here and see your smiling faces on a Sunday morning. You brighten up all the clouds outside, so great. I'm glad to see you. Got Reese back from one of her trips. Good to see you guys, and everybody's here, and I appreciate that. And we're just glad to have you here in Grace Walk. And this morning, we're going to be over in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16. Do you like to wait? Georgina's shaking her head no. I tell you what, one of the hardest things for a person, an impatient person especially, is to wait. Valerie and I had to come a different way to church this morning because there's road construction in our neighborhood that's about to irritate me to death. And anyway, we sat at a light that we normally never sit at, you know. Oh, it was a long time. I mean, goodness, I don't even know how long. I took a couple naps and, you know, but wasn't that bad. But man, we don't like waiting. We want what we want, and we want it right now. You know, you go to the store, and you're annoyed with those long checkout lines, you know. And then the self-service, machines, self, whatever they're called, there's long lines there now too, you know, and you're like, my goodness. But especially as Christians, we don't like waiting on God, do we? We're just as impatient in our spiritual life as we are in our physical life. Yet the Bible teaches us to wait. The Bible teaches us to wait on the Lord for guidance. The psalmist said, lead me in thy path and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now, I didn't have to wait all the day this morning at that red light, but the psalmist acknowledges his need to wait on God all the day for guidance, for teaching. The psalmist also waited on deliverance. Psalm 33, verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Wait, 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 wait. The psalmist also waited on answers to his prayers. He says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. That's Psalm 38, 15. And then the prophet Isaiah waited on strength. One of these great verses that I'm sure you can probably say by memory, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, wait. Hurry up and wait. And then we wait on God's forgiveness and his assurance of forgiveness. The psalmist said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. So, last week, we looked at Abram's life, and we saw how God richly blessed his family, how he blessed his namesake, and God repeated that command. He confirmed his promise of blessing with Abraham by that sacrifice that they had, that ceremony that was very common in those days, that little ritual where there was a sacrifice of a heifer and a goat and a ram, and those were split in half, and the parties that would agree on something would walk through that. And yet we saw in the end of the chapter where Abram went to sleep, and the only person that walked through it was God. And that was a sign that there was nothing that Abram could do in this transaction, because God did it all. He couldn't work for it. He couldn't do anything about it. He had to wait on God. God had sovereignly chosen to bless Abram, and Abram had to wait on it. And we saw in that chapter where he was good at waiting. He trusted the Lord. In fact, in Hebrews 6, he's used as an example. Let me read that for you. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. But he didn't get there overnight. Abram didn't get there overnight. And we come to chapter 16, and we find visually demonstrated an example of what Jesus said, where he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We find here where Abram stops trusting in his faith. He starts planning on things. Let's read verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now notice right off the bat that Sarai is blaming God for them not having a child. God promised them a child, they don't have a child, and since they don't have a child, she's going to blame God. Oh, we've done that too. She jumped to the wrong conclusion that just because it's not in her hands now, and just because it's not something that she's enjoying now, that God, it's God's fault. Well, God had a reason. God had a reason. He wanted them to wait. He wanted them to be old. He wanted them to trust in him, and they weren't there yet. They had to become the people that they were before God could entrust them with his promises. The attitude of Abram and Sarah exhibited their lack of faith. You say, wait a minute. Abram had a great faith in chapter 15. Yeah, he woke up the next morning. Because we're that way. We're that way. And Abram was a great man. He was a great child of God. And he was a great leader of his people. But he was a man. And so he stopped walking by faith and started walking by sight. You know what's interesting here is when Sarai said, let me find it, that word obey, or not obey, but obtain. In verse number 2, I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. That literally, which is what I read this week, that literally in the Hebrew means I shall be built. Meaning Sarai was wanting to build herself up. She wanted this kid for her own purposes. And if I read my Bible correctly, God wants us to wait on him and seek for his glory. Now you can't blame Sarai for wanting a kid. Before we had any for 5 years, we wanted a kid. And we've been trying to find a way to get rid of them ever since we got them. But you want a kid, and they were not waiting on God's timetable. God had things he wanted to teach Abram. God had things there had to be things in Sarai's life that wasn't showed God it was she wasn't ready. He's going to fulfill his promises, but on his schedule. And we don't like that. Amen? We just don't like that. And so verse 3 says, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Now, keep an open mind here, because they lived in a civilization where this was normal. It's against God's ways, but it was normal. A lot of things become normal, although God's against them. And so it was normal to have many wives. That was polygamy, something that was not blessed by God, but it was there. But here's the thing, the wife had to agree to it. The primary wife had to agree to have more. So husbands, if you want more than one wife, you just ask her for her permission. If she says no, you say, well, it's in the Bible. We looked at it in Sunday school. No, that's not what it means. It means that they were doing things their own way, and they did this thing against God's plan from the get-go. You remember Genesis chapter 2? One man, one woman. The way God made it. And Abram had access to those scriptures. And in verse 4 it says, He went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now clearly, Abram's at fault here for listening to his wife instead of listening to God. Sarah's at fault for putting her own needs and wants ahead of God. But when it happened, there was the fact that the mistress despised Sarai. And so there's a problem. And anytime you violate God's way of doing things, it becomes a problem. There's polygamy here. There's Abram doing things against God's way here. Two women are under the same roof with one man. God never condoned that. And anytime we step outside of trying to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and the works of the Spirit, and in Abram's case, the works and the promises that God gave to him, when we stop doing that, then we're asking for problems. And in this case, there was resentment and division among these two women. You know, over in the New Testament, over in Galatians chapter 5, the writer gives us like three verses full of things that are fruits of living in the flesh. Fruits of the flesh. And one of them is envy. One of them is envy. When we get so messed up in our head that we don't trust God anymore, and then whatever happens because of our own reason, envy can be at the top of the list. I've seen that in my life. Envy's popped up, and when I finally got my head straight, and it's usually because either God's word showed it to me or somebody pointed that out to me, I thought, if I'd just been thinking right, Linda, I never would have been envious of that person. God don't want me to be envious. So verse number 5 says, "And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee." Sarai, this is your fault, Abram. Stone it off on him. "I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." You know what? A terrible atmosphere enters the home when husbands and wives and sons and daughters stop being controlled by God's Spirit. We don't know what could happen. If God's Spirit is not controlling my heart and my being and my stubbornness, then I could do anything. And then that verse says, "And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face." Well, yeah. Here, this was the doing of Abram and Sarai. And here Hagar has been dealt roughly by Sarai. And so she leaves. And verse 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur." Now, God used angels a lot in the Old Testament. I mean, we have a sure word of prophecy. We have His word. So don't be jealous that we don't have angels telling us what to do. But in the Old Testament, God used angels to deliver messages. He used angels to give His judgment upon people. He used angels to influence people. And here this angel comes upon Hagar, and he said, it's an angel of God, and he said in verse 8, "Hagar, Sarai's maid. Now, if God, think back with me here just a minute. Abram and Hagar are married. Hagar's a second wife to Abram. But this is God's angel here, and God's angel comes up to Hagar and doesn't say, "Hey, Abram's wife," or "Abram's second wife." He says, "Sarai's maid." Why? Because God didn't recognize what they did to begin with. In God's eyes, it didn't happen. In God's eyes, it wasn't approved, is what I'm trying to say. And so He says, "Whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? And where are you going? And whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai." And He begins to ask her questions. when I read this, I thought about the Garden of Eden, when questions begin to be asked. God knew what had happened with Adam and Eve. He knew, but he asked questions. And you know, one of the great things that comes as a result of reading God's word is you may not hear them verbally, but questions get asked, don't they? When you're really sincere with your and honest with yourself and you read God's word and you read things that the Holy Spirit deals with your heart about certain things, it's him asking questions. And he already knows the answer, but that's one of his ways. He asks the questions, so he wants us to acknowledge where we are. And here he's just asking some questions. He knew where she came from. He knew what she was doing there. And yet he asked the question. Now, I was thinking about this week, and I thought, well, how does the Holy Spirit, how does God's messenger ask us questions today? Well, certainly, his word. Certainly, in church. How many times have you been in a church service in some passage of Scripture where the preacher maybe stepped on your toes, or maybe he was just preaching or illustrating something and God's Spirit dealt with you about something? He's asking you questions. Hey, Dwayne, what you doing there? Hey, Dwayne, what in the world's going on with this deal you got going on? What's happening with this? And it says in verse 9, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands." Hey, did you know any time we're involved in any type of sin, maybe a mental sin, thoughts of the heart, man, I am tongue-tied today. Physical sin, maybe an emotional sin, these two things are what we're always told any time we have sin in our life. Return and submit. Look at it. "The angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands." Remember back in chapter 13, if you remember when Abram was, when he came out of Egypt, what is the first thing he did? He went back home and built an altar to the Lord and submitted his heart. He had been in the wrong. He had sinned against the Lord, and he went back home. And so in this story, you know, this actually, Hagar in this story just simply did what she was told. She was the slave. So this story did not start with her, but she's having to live with the results. She took part in them, and she has to take the same route back to where she's supposed to be as Abram and Sarah. Return and submit. And verse 10 says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." That's what Ishmael means, God hears. And the angel of the Lord tells Hagar here, yeah, you're in a situation here, but you need to return and you need to submit. And I am going to give you a great family in number, a great in number family. But look at verse number 12. "And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Wild man, against men, men against him. Wow, that's rough. That's foreboding a rough life ahead to have that kind of son. Always in trouble, always going after people and people going after him. But that's what she's got here. Later in Exodus, you remember when Joseph was taken off to Egypt and sold? You remember that story? Guess who did it? The Ishmaelites. Ishmael's descendants did it. And so the Bible came true that, or the angel of the Lord's promise came true that, hey, yeah, you're going to have a family. It's going to be rough. They're going to be against people, and they're not going to be in agreement with each other, and it's not going to be a good thing. In verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Now that's the end of the picture of the story. But if you go to the New Testament, this story is often used as a comparison between being free and being in slavery to sin. Hagar was a slave. And in the Old Testament law enslaved men. You remember that? The law was so tough that the men and the people in the Bible couldn't live by it. It was so rigid. It was so, the standards were too great. Sarah was a free woman, and Christ makes us free. Hagar was the slave, and she's a picture of the flesh, and the flesh could not be controlled. You know, that's who we are today. If we allow God's Spirit to shape us and to mold us and to keep the rough edges filed down and smoothed down, then things will be all right. But if we got a cantankerous attitude or a cantankerous spirit about us and we give in to the flesh all the time, God's not going to force us. But we'll be in the same shoes as Abram and Sarai and Ishmael, or Hagar. We'll be outside of God's will. We'll be doing things that He don't want us to do. And any time we do that, any time we step out of God's way of doing things, there's trouble. Any time we step out of His approval, there's trouble. And that's what we saw in this story. Abram, although he was promised to have a great name after him and be blessed with riches and abundance. And although in chapter 15 he submitted himself to the Lord and he was approved by God, as I said a minute ago, he woke up the next day and is totally different. He listened to his wife instead of to God. She was in the wrong mind because she wasn't listening to God. And here, because of this, there's division in the family. There's division and there's punishment and there's ill feelings. And any time we step away from the Lord, you know why that is? It's because we like to help God. That's what they were trying to do. God promised them a son. We'll just help him along here. Maybe he's forgotten about it, Stacy. Maybe God promised Abram a son, but he's just forgotten about it. We'll help him along. Here, we got Hagar right here. We can make it happen. Oh, that's where it happens right there. You say, well, I'm not going to be in that situation. Well, me neither. Me neither, as far as that family situation. But we're in situations all the time. Here in about an hour, and we hear our pastor preaching, and we find that we hear something that may not be agreeable with us and agreeable with the society that we're in, but yet it's right here in God's Word. We're at the same crossroads. Well, do I believe His Word? Or do I believe what's popular today? We're at the same crossroads that Abram was at when he listened to his wife. And yet, when God promises to us and when He promises to bless us and the flesh wants to help God and make this happen, Prophet Isaiah said it this way, He that believeth shall not make haste. Now, we don't talk like that much anymore, but he that believeth shall not hurry. Wait on God. If he promised it, he's going to make it happen. He works on his own timetable. Now, how do I apply that to my everyday life? How do you apply that to your everyday life? With the seniors in this class, our age group, yours and mine, how do we make this apply waiting on the Lord? Well, let's look at it practically. Are you praying for good health? Are you praying for good health in your life, or are you praying for maybe more money? Well, as you've heard our pastor say many times over this same pulpit, God desires to help his people, but he also expects us to do our part. Here's the crux of the matter. If I am praying for good health, and yet my diet consists of Whataburgers and Taco Bell every day, guess what? It ain't going to happen. He expects me to do my part. And I love Whataburger and tacos. He expects us to take care of this instrument that he's given us. And you say, well, you don't know what I've got, and you don't know. Well, I don't know what you've got, and I don't know how you feel. But I know he's given us all something. And it's up to us to take the best care of his vehicle, of his present, that we possibly can. How about, have you prayed for knowledge in God's word? Have you prayed for discretion, the power to make good judgments from the standpoint of God's word? Well, guess what you got to do to make that happen? You got to study it. Somebody told me this week, it just amazes me how some people go to certain scriptures so quickly. And I looked at him, and I was trying to find out a way to say this without offending. But I said, well, you know, that happens. You get pretty familiar with it when you read it all the time. You know, when you're turning to passages, you get pretty familiar with where things are. And I said that, and he took it well, and he said, yeah, you're right. I needed to hear that. So God will give us the wisdom, just like he'll give us good health, if we do our part. Now we're not in charge of the final result, ever. But all we can do is take what we have, hand it over to the Lord, have the discernment to read his word, and pray and wait, because he works on his own timetable. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the example of Abram.